Well, good morning, everybody. Again, thank you for coming and being part of today. I'm so glad you're here. Let's talk about joy for a few minutes, okay? All right. How many of you right now are outrageously get up and dance and yell and scream joyful? How many of you are like that? Why? Oh, I saw this. It's called IF, okay? It's called IF. If you can start each day with excitement and enthusiasm because it is a new day. If you can greet each person as if they were a friend forever. If you can joyfully eat the same food day after day and be internally grateful for it. And if you know that most of life's challenges can be worked out with a nice walk, you're probably the family dog, okay? That's true. Your dog, if he's eaten right now, he's lying on the carpet in the sun, and life is what? Good. It's good all the way through. What is this thing called joy? Anyway, we kind of know. You know, if I were to ask you to talk about joy, you'd kind of know. You'd kind of give it out. You know, some kind of words on this one. Deep. There's a depth to it. There's a sense of satisfaction and peace and usually we compare it with the word what? Happiness and joy. And we kind of try and talk about the difference between joy and happiness, don't we? I mean, there's a difference between joy and happiness. The other day I needed to get gas, and you electric car owners can have a right to smirk over this one, but I had to get gas for my car. And we all know that the sacred rule of getting gas when you're going to a gas station, if you're pulling up to a pump and there's a pump in front of you, you do what? You pull up to the person behind me. Now, I know that, okay? You know that. The person in front of me did not know that, okay? He did not know that. He stopped. And it kind of left me what? Hanging out there. I mean, I'm just hanging out there. And so I thought, no, don't do this. And so as I went, I had to go around, you know, and just as I was going around, guess what? Two more cars pulled in. And was I happy, by the way? So no, there's no happy there. And so I go around to get another pump, and as I was going around again, two more cars pulled into those. And so I pulled to the last empty empty pump, and I realized, now the hose is on the wrong side of the car. You know, the wrong side of the car. I was happy. There was no happy in my car at all. And you may know this, but the word happiness comes from what is happening to me. Okay, happiness, it comes from the stuff around me. Happiness comes from what's going on in my life. Disneyland is the most what place on earth? I thought you were going to say expensive. It was the most expensive place. On earth. I mean, it's happiest place on earth. It says it as you're walking in. It has to be the happiest place on earth because it says it, and it's Disneyland. And there's a lot of fun stuff that's what? Happening, okay, in there. So you're going to Disneyland, it's the happiest place on earth. If happiness is stuff that's happening to me, then happiness comes from where? It comes from without, okay? It comes from the outside, okay? And that's kind of, to me, at least a good general sense of definition. Happiness comes from without, and so if happy comes from without, joy comes from where? Comes from within, from the internal. It's not necessarily tied up with what's happening in my life at the moment, okay? It's connected more to what's on the inside. And so a big, long, thick definition on this one, and you don't have to remember it, but this kind of helps me. Joy is the deep-seated contentment, peace, and hope that comes from experiencing and dwelling in God's presence and resting in his bigger plan and purpose. Now, if you can grasp that, and if you can hold that or internalize that, that's where joy comes from. And it becomes like this internal thing. It becomes this critical mass of movement and energy that's going on the inside. And it has to do with God's presence in my life. It has to do with knowing his plan and his purpose. And it becomes a deep-seated contentment, and there's peace and hope on this one. I mean, this is why we have, you know, we sing Christmas songs, joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. God's plan, God's purpose, God is working that kind of thing out, and that's why there can be joy in the world. And so you have happiness and you have joy. Now, sometimes we talk as if they're opposites. They're not, okay? Sometimes people would say, would you rather be joyful or happy? I'd rather be joyful and happy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really would. I like joy. I do. But I also like happy, you know? So don't think happy is bad. God is pleased when we're happy. Verse in the Bible says this, so I concluded there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. I mean, that's not a bad thing, okay? I have been diagnosed with RGF. It's a condition, in case you don't know, it stands for resting grumpy face, okay? And it means that when I'm resting, I look what? I look grumpy. I do. It's just there. I get it from my dad, who not only looked grumpy, but was grumpy. He just was grumpy all the time. And it drives me all my life. People would say, what's wrong? It's like, nothing's wrong. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Why? And they say, well, you look mad or upset or angry. It's like, well, I'm fine. And then they say this, are you sure? I mean, Paul, you can tell me if something's wrong. You can really open up to me. And I'd say, I'm really not bugged. And they'll say, oh, really? Really? You can tell me. And by that time, I'm what? I'm bugged. I'm angry. leave me alone. But I love being happy. I mean, I do, and I want to be as happy as I can. The problem happens when I settle for only happiness in a life that's meant to be filled with what? With joy, okay? When I settle for only happiness, when there's more, when there's something deeper, and that would be joy. Now, happiness should have one of those little stickers on it that says, you know, warning, you know, this is only what? Temporary. It's only temporary. This will not last, and do not depend on this to give you fulfillment. Because I don't believe that happiness can give you fulfillment. It can make you feel good, and that's a good thing. But it can't give you the deep sense of meaning and purpose and fulfillment that joy can. Disneyland eventually closes, okay? It does. And the new car at some point in time gets old and breaks down. And if happy is from without, and we have nothing to fill it up from within, then I'll have to go and find the next big thing. And that's the problem with happy. It's temporary, and so I have to go out and find the next big thing. And so I'll go from place to place or thing to thing. Whereas joy, if it's an internal deal, I don't have to keep going to the next big thing. If joy is a deep-seated, here we go with the definition, contentment, peace and hope that comes from experiencing and dwelling in God's presence and resting in his bigger plan and purpose, then I can settle down and remember right now, no matter what's happening to me, I'm alive in God. I'm loved by God. I'm in his creation.
That's a good word.
And I can be present now with God. And so I want to say this. A relationship with God solves the challenge of being joyful in a world that can bring a lot of unhappiness. And it can. This is from Jesus. It's his last talk to his disciples before his death on the cross. And it's like his last real talk with him before his death. And so this is important stuff time. He says, the time is coming, and in fact has come, when you'll be scattered, each to your own home. And that's the persecution, and that's what's going to happen. Jesus says, you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Okay? Happenstance or circumstances are going to be bad, but he's not alone. God's with him. His sense of joy and strength is his Father's with him. And then he would say this, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. It's a broken world. Sometimes we wonder, why is it so broken, or why do people do what they do? And the real response is, it's a broken world. What do you expect? You know, a broken world, I will expect brokenness. Things not being the way they should and wrecked, I'm not going to be able to expect things going right much of the time, or sometimes even most of the time. But joy can happen on the inside when I know that God is in charge of this world. and he's already won this thing. Joy comes from taking time to look beyond the reality of my problems to the plans and purposes of God. Okay, the plans and purposes of God and what God is doing. It was anniversary time for Lisa and I, you know, last week, or a couple weeks ago. I better remember this one for the next service, right? Yeah. She's not here, so don't mention this at all. Anyway, I got Lisa a card. I got her a nice anniversary card. One time, it was like for me, I walked in and I got a card in like 3 seconds. I saw it, perfect card. This is great. And that was great. It was wonderful for me. The problem is I told her, Lisa, it only took me like 3 seconds to find this card. So this last card took me, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes, you know. So. Anyway, I got home and I signed it and I wrote a nice note in it. And it had one of those stickers, you know, because it had one of those stickers you put to seal the card. You've seen those things, you know. And this one, so I moistened it and I put it on the envelope and it fell off. It just fell right off. And I thought, oh, crud, you know. So I licked it more, you know, more. And it left a big wet mark on the envelope and then it fell off. And I'm thinking, so now it's principle on this one, you know, and I'm going to beat this thing no matter what it takes. And so I dumped it in my glass of water, you know, I'm going to soak this sucker in this water. And I put it on, and I'm hammering it down, and guess what? It fell off, because it's not a sticker that you lick, it's a sticker that you what? You peel off. You peel off. Now, was I happy? I was not happy. But there's a deep-seated sense of I have a person I love deeply. And for 39 years, we have been together, even though she's 30 years old, for 39 years. Yeah. Somebody knew what we go through and inspired James to write this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. There it is, pure joy. This is good. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I have Lisa in my life. That gives me incredible joy. And I can write an anniversary card. You know, when you're in high school, you just think, no girl's ever going to like me, you know, never. And I can write an anniversary card, and I have paper towels to wipe up all this water that spill over the place. And God is not leaving me alone. God's doing a work here, and God is doing a work in me. And once you start bringing God into this, this is where I think this verse applies. In your presence, there's what? Fullness of joy. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And then Nehemiah would say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That gives me endurance to keep on. Now, you know this. The holidays are coming, you know. I was in Home Depot. They're full out decorated for Christmas. And not only with the holidays coming, there's lots of junk stuff that gets to be pulled down from your garage and put in the house. But there's lots of room for misunderstanding and lots of room for old hurts to be brought up and to wounds to open up. And I can choose frustration and anger, or I can choose joy that I have a Savior that forgives me and I can forgive others and ask for forgiveness. And I can choose to be a blessing and be used by God to give them happiness. And that's where the joy lies. For some of you, this holiday will be the first one without the presence of a loved one. They pass away this year. And you got to face Christmas, you know, with an empty place at the table. But you can choose joy in the midst, knowing that they're in the hands of a loving God. And then experience that God is loving you and carrying you through this. And that's where the joy comes in a broken world. Next one is give yourself permission to walk through the times it takes to find the joy. give yourself permission. A lot of times we say, I should be over this by now. I should be over this by now. Sorrow and tragedy hurts, you know, and it takes a while to get through it. We're human, and joy can actually be fogged by circumstances. It really can. And I'm saying this because of this verse. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And we want to think, well, why can't joy just come right now? Because we're human. Because we're human. And a lot of circumstances hurt, and they hurt a lot. And it's hard sometimes to grasp and to look for and find the joy in the midst of all this kind of stuff. We always focus on joy comes in the morning, but we sometimes forget that weeping will last for the night. It just will. It just does. And we need to sometimes give ourselves permission and not say, well, what kind of a faith person am I that I'm really struggling through this? Or why can't I get over this? Or why can't I get through it? Because it hurt real bad. Weeping happens because of the unhappiness and the disappointments, and it takes time for us. And I would say stay firm. Joy will come, but give yourself permission to realize it hurts and to work through the hurt. Just because it's obscured, though, doesn't mean God's gone on this one. And then this last one, it really, my joy is wrapped up in my closeness with God. I really believe that. Joy is going to be wrapped up in your closeness with God. John was a disciple of Jesus, and he lived this stuff. I mean, he really did. And he's writing at the end of his life. He's like 90 years old, and he's exiled on some desert island because of his faith. They booted him, and he's in some desert island now. And he writes this, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Meaning joy is made complete when we grasp and understand that we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus. And that doesn't go away. It doesn't and can't go away. Another person, Paul, he's in prison because of his faith. And he writes this. He says, I've learned to be content regardless of my circumstances. I know how to live humbly. I know how to abound. I'm accustomed to any and every situation, to being filled and being hungry, to having plenty and having need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Have you ever been typing on a keyboard and you're moving fast and all of a sudden you look at the screen and you realize it's a bunch of gibberish, you know, for crying out loud. What have I been doing? You know, you think, what language am I typing in, you know? And so what do you do? You hit delete or backspace, but you realize it's not backspacing, but it's giving you a bunch of backslashes, you know, and you realize what? Fingers are on the wrong keys. You know, my fingers are on the wrong keys. That's why it's doing what it's doing. And it doesn't matter if your strokes are right. If you're on the wrong keys, it makes no difference. As long as you have your fingers on the wrong keys, you'll never get it right. And what some trying to do is type out their life with their fingers on the wrong keys, you know, and they wonder, why is it not giving me the joy or the satisfaction that I would want? And then we try to find joy in what will only bring temporary happiness. And then we have to go from thing to thing to thing. We, or at least I, forget the joy that comes from within. So sometimes I try and find joy from without, and it just doesn't work. Not having joy does have a price, by the way. Not having joy does have a cost to it. It has a cost on yourself, your emotions, it does. Not having joy has a price on your marriage and your friendships. It does, it really does. If you are not the joyful person God intended you to be, there is a price that others are paying because of it. And even on our health, it has price. I love this. Jesus said, I have spoken these things in order that my joy may be in you. And your joy may be made what? Complete. Complete. So we need to look to God for our source of joy. And we have Christmas and Thanksgiving coming up. And God, there's so much potential for joy. I mean, so much. But also we know with the busyness, and already I'm stressed about what to get this person and that person. There's a lot of potential for tension. And then you have people, and some of you have just really strained relationships, and there's a lot of potential for tension and misunderstanding. And but your family's coming together, you know, people are coming together. You have opportunity to serve with joy and to forgive with joy and love with joy. Opportunities to go inside yourself and remember really the goodness of God in the midst of all of this, to find the real joy in this one. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. I saw this verse this week. It's tucked in Deuteronomy. And, you know, who reads Deuteronomy? I did. You know, I do. And it says this: the Lord will delight in being good to you. Now, think about that one for a second. God Almighty, who created this, the universe, everything. God who made everything. In being good to you, he doesn't do it reluctantly. He doesn't do it because he has to. He doesn't do it because just what he's supposed to do. I mean, he's God. He does it and it gives him what? It gives him delight. The Lord will delight in being good to you. God delights in being good to you. And say it to yourself: God, you delight in being good to me. And experience the fullness now of these words. And I'm going to share some verses with you. And I would really like to leave you with a deep sense of joy, just with the truths of these on this one. And so when I say meditate on these, I'm just going to read them, and I'm going to pause and give you a chance to just internalize these. These are from the Word of God, the Bible. Says this: my mind and my body may grow weak. God is my strength. Yes. He is all I ever need.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. Just remember, God is enough.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. This one again: weeping may last through the night. Joy comes with the morning. And you may be weeping even right now. Joy will come. Lean into God.
Yes.
Lean into God even right now. Just say, my heart's broken, but God, you're the only thing I've got. And since you are the only thing I've got, I'm just going to reach up to you and reach out to you. Isaiah 51 says this: Those whom you have rescued will return with gladness, singing and shouting for joy. They'll be happy forever, free from sorrow and grief.
Yes.
If God has rescued you, and he has.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing me, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Be glad. Sing with joy. Be happy forever. It says you'll go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Mountains and hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Psalm 5, a great verse. Just listen. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. And then there's a prayer: spread protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy.
Yes.
God, that's our prayer right now. We who love your name, who love the name of Jesus, who love the salvation that we have, who love the fact that you are in charge of our lives. You know when a sparrow falls, you in every detail of our life. Give us hope. Give us peace. Give us joy. Because we love your name. And Father, as we now go into this season and as we go into these weeks of wanting to experience joy. May we be filled with the fullness of joy, the very thing that your Son prayed for us. May we be happy in life. May we find in you the depths of joy. And we thank you so much in Jesus' name.